Yes, sir. No Yankee game tonight. But if you like sports, I like sports. We got a lot to talk about. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we're going to talk hockey. Hockey? Yeah, NHL. Why not? Stephen A. Smith can't talk hockey. I can. I mean, enough to have this conversation about what's going on with that team over there in Newark and the teams here in New York. But the Devils in the defense, I cannot wait to talk to Arthur Staple because he knows way more than I know. That's going to be good. I feel like, you know, this past hockey season was amazing. It was just, there was just so many storylines. Even with the Panthers winning their first cup, it's like, I don't know. I feel like it was easier for me to watch games and latch on the games, and I'm so excited about going back to the Rock. I saw that they put out the season opener in October. I think they're going to be facing the Toronto Maple Leafs. So new coach will face his old team. Well, I'll table it because I do want to sneak in some calls before I bring in Arthur Staple, my first guest tonight, 888-808-1019. I mean, we've been talking about our two baseball teams and the storylines around them, as well as Isaiah Hartenstein and his big contract, his new deal to go out there to Oklahoma and play with the number one seed in the West, a young team that could use a guy like him, a team that, I mean, you got to just tip your cap to them. Sam Presti, he doesn't waste any time. He's always working, and they've been able to just rebuild and have different eras of talented teams. He's already made the trade to get Josh Giddey up out of there after we know what went on with Josh Giddey, or maybe we don't know what went on with Josh Giddey. He got Josh Giddey up out of there and brings in Alex Caruso, and now they got Ihart. Man, their team, I don't know. Let's see. I think their team is young. I think their team is very close, and I think their team got a lot better. And when you look at the West and you look at Jokic and the Nuggets taking a step back, you look at the Mavs. Obviously, the Mavs added Klay Thompson. We'll do some conversation in the 10 o'clock hour about the whole NBA. Like, I just look at OKC. It's like they're a threat, man. They're a threat. And they went out and got a guy that I think is going to fit very well in their system. Like, the same way that you saw how he fit with the Knicks, getting boards and passing the ball. I mean, what do you think he's going to do with SGA? They were comparing SGA to Kobe this year. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, they were comparing him to Kobe this year. He was this close to being an MVP this year. So, Chet Holmgren, I mean, they've got so many guys. They've got so many. Jalen Williams, Dort. The future is bright in OKC. It's not like Hartenstein left and went to the Washington Wizards. Josh is in Poughkeepsie. Josh, you're on the Fan.
Hey, what's up, Keith? How you doing?
I'm all right. Thanks for calling.
Big shout out, first of all, to Presti, Maury, and Leon Rose, three of the best GMs in the entire league. I mean, it's hands down. I know Maury keeps taking these swings and misses and kind of botching stuff, but at least he's going out and making moves for his team, unlike some of these teams out here. Anyway, these guys talking about Hartenstein's bag, like, I get the $15 million everyone's looking at, but it's not even just that. It's an extra, it's a one less year on top of that as
right.
Well.
You can get
so,
to
yeah,
that
he's 26.
Faster. Yeah.
Exactly. He gets through this contract, maybe even 2 years of it, and then he gets another extension. Like, he's got a chance to be even more paid after Brooklyn screwed him in the draft when he got drafted and dropped like 15, 20 spots. But it's just like these fair weather fans sometimes, man. Like, they, as soon as we signed Mikal Bridges, everyone was so happy. And then all of a sudden, we lose Ihart, and it's like the world is like caught on fire, and I just don't get it, man. It's the same thing
either.
With the Yankees.
I'm with everything. I'm in agreement with everything you said so far. I pretty much have said it myself.
Like the beginning of the Yankee season, everyone's like, "Oh, World Series, World Series, World Series." You know, they have a couple bad weeks, a couple bad series, and now all of a sudden, if they want to trade the entire team and bring
a lot of these are the same fans, Yankees, Knicks fans.
Yep. Yeah, no, I'm Yankees, Knicks fan, Giants fan my whole life, and it's all the same thing. When good times are going good, everyone wants to be happy. As soon as one bad thing happens, it's just, you know, the roof's on fire.
And it's not bad. This is not a bad thing. You guys didn't care about this guy 2 years ago. If Mitch doesn't get hurt, he doesn't become what he became. What it is he became something, and this run was so magical for the Knicks fans that you don't want to lose a piece of it. You wanted to run it back, and it's like, yo, I just don't think it's that big of a loss. Thanks for the call, Josh, and I also don't fault a guy for saying, okay, 4 years, $72.5 million versus 3 years, $87 million. Forget the teams. Just do the math. I'm taking the deal that can get me to the bag, the bigger bag, faster. And then please just like Google OKC Thunder roster. I don't know. I know they play out west. I know people might not have seen them. They have a very young and promising team, and he's going to fit right in with those guys. And like I said, for an example, it's not like he's going to the Washington Wizards. Obviously, OKC can't measure up with NYC. But, yo, he made the right move, the right decision, and the writing was on the wall. He told you so much in a post game. I got to go back and find that clip. I know SNY had it, where he shrugged off the question about, like, whatever. Like, I'm not really worried about the free agency in the offseason. I'm getting paid regardless. Whether I take what the Knicks can give me, the max that the Knicks can give me, or if somebody else steps up, because he might not have known, he probably didn't know that Oklahoma City was going to step up with this offer. Either way, he got paid. Congratulations, Isaiah Hartenstein. Lou is in Astoria before we bring in my guest. Lou, you're on the Fan.
Yeah, I'd be quick there, boss. Listen, I don't know if you remember way back when Soto was killing it and actually George in the slump, but we still were winning at the beginning of the season. And you was telling me, oh, you know, Soto's not going anywhere. He's got the Dominicans and Jackson Hines. He loves it here. And I told you, I said, Keith, if you go to your wife, you remember that conversation? And you ask your wife, mm-hmm. honey, you give me $50 million more with the Mets. What do you want me to do? Remember that conversation?
Yeah, I remember. We're a long way from December, Lou. We don't know what is going
to... Now you mentioned, now you're talking about
I'll be consistent. That's way different comparing the Mets and Yankees in the same city and taking less to be a Yankee. I'll be consistent. If Steve Cohen blows out the Yankees offer by $100 million or by even if it's just $15 million more, I'm not going to fault Juan Soto for saying, "Hey, the Mets gave me more. I'm going to Queens." I say, "Yo, do your thing. Good luck."
Listen, I have a video where he went to a barbershop, Dominican barbershop.
Yeah, Jordan MVP barber.
Exactly. It's a barbershop. Yes, Nino Stylo barbershop, Juan Soto.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and Google that, and you will see clearly what he actually said at the beginning of the season before I go to the – he didn't say the Mets because you can't say that. Otherwise, he'd be fine. Then before I go to Queens, okay? He's going for the most money. You can take that to the bank, brother. Listen, I don't care what anybody says. And as far as the Stroman situation was, I mean, I'm telling you right now that our captain, the big guy, should have stopped him for telling him, listen, this is not a Yankee way. Stop, okay?
He
did. Do that inside, downstairs, okay?
He did check him. But, you know, it's not judged.
No. But he didn't react to it. He just actually, I mean, he kept going into the dugout. Come on, you're lucky you're playing for the Yankees. You should be ashamed of yourself, okay? I don't get it. This lack of leadership there. When the manager and the captain, I would have told him, listen, go over there and apologize. That's the way we run the team here.
Thanks for the call, Lou. These are grown men, bro. Go over there and, sorry, Gleyber. I'm sorry I overreacted in a moment. I want to win. I wanted to continue my start. You've been pretty trash this whole year. Sorry I took it out on you. Again, Stroman was dead wrong. And he knew it. And I watched the post game that night. He owned up to it. He was accountable. But Judge is quiet as kept, too. He's discreet. Part of the reason Judge is going crazy like this is because he got ejected for the first time. He's taking it out on the world, and the baseball gods are loving it. They're like, yeah, we thought you'd never have one career ejection. He's going scorched earth. But he's not going to make a scene. What'd you want him to do? Body slam Marcus Stroman in the dugout? Judge is the biggest man on the field, and he can quietly just say, hey, don't do that again. That's not what we do here. That's not right. Chill. I understand you want to win. I want to win, too. You're fired up. Be better. And Stroman was probably like, bro, I've been holding this in all season. Glaber's been costing me outs all season. I know. But we're going to need that guy to get going if we're going to go where we're going. All right. We're going to the phone, right? If you don't have them yet, that's fine. I just want to be respectful of my guest time. Maybe I can take a call here before we get my guest. Moose is in Jamaica. Moose, you're on the Fan.
Evening, Keith. First time, long time, big fan.
Thanks.
Thank you. Yeah, so what I'm about to say may be unpopular, but you were discussing last week the nature of the sustainability of both teams in New York.
Yeah.
First thing first, the Mets have been in horse manure since the Wilpons and added more horse manure in 2021, paying five players on non-competitive teams half their salary. So they have to figure that out before they bring in whatever they do and unload more of the farm they got back. But as for the Yankees, whether it be the trade deadline, adding a third baseman, first baseman, possibly two closers that are stellar on non-competitive teams, regardless of the finances, if they're rentals, probably the most important factor, if you include the trade deadline acquisitions that may or may not be needed. Because I'm a diehard Yankee fan, and you know I'm with the ish, but more so it's like the sustainability. Like not, forget the fact if we sign Soto for 55-year, 45-year, 60-year, and maybe Verdugo and Clay Holmes, and then Loaiza does a free agent. Like, do you really want to pay $150 to sit in the bleachers and pay $30 for a beer? Not that it affects my wallet, but the sustainability of a profitable organization at a high performance level of winning, and Volpe has to be re-signed.
Mm-hmm.
Heel has to be re-signed. We have Dominguez. We have Jones. Like, arguably speaking, let's say we add a first baseman and one stellar closer as rentals. But if you're going to re-sign Soto, what are you going to do with Stanton, LeMahieu, and Stanton's contract? And that's pretty much what I have to say about that.
Thank you for the call, Moose. Let's put a pen in that. I just put that in my notes. We'll go back to it, talking about the business side of these decisions, talking about contracts and the future, and even the future here at the deadline. That's also a factor. As I talk about, you got to give to get. As I talk about, it takes two to tango. You got to think about, you know, who you're paying and have a plan for the future as well. Okay. I said I wanted to be respectful of my guest and his time. Joining us right now from The Athletic, covering your New York Rangers and the Isles, it's Arthur Staple. Hello again, Art.
What's up, Keith? How we doing?
Good, good. With all of this free agent frenzy going on, not in the NBA, we'll do that later. I'm like, I got to bring somebody in that knows what's going on, because as I have been really learning more about hockey in the last 3 years that I've been on WFAN, I know the players on the Devils, but I don't know the entire league yet. It takes time to learn all the different players. Like, the Devils are going to play everybody a handful of times. Like, it takes time to really learn who is who and what is what. So even as I see, and we'll start with the Devils first, because I know the Devils fans that I talk to online are itching for some Devils conversation on the Fan. You know, my guy Pete Albeats over there at the Devils, he sends me the emails. And just in the last, like, couple months, the Devils have made so many moves. Obviously, we know they have a new coach. Obviously, we know they have a new goalie. But today, they made some moves where I'm just like, okay, I need to know exactly what this means. So I know you know. I will toss it to you. I know Pesci is from the area. I was just talking to Rich Ackerman about him, and I remember seeing him obviously with the Hurricanes, and I know that the Rangers fans know about him. Brett Pesci is a veteran, and here's what I'll say before I throw to you, because you can speak to it better than me. I feel like the Devils have made such a real effort to get some veterans on this team and bulk up the defense of this team, and I can't wait to see the changes with this team and how they look on the ice in October.
Yeah, they, you know, you give credit to Tom Fitzgerald for recognizing that maybe they jumped the gun a little bit a couple of years ago when they beat the Rangers, you know, had such a good regular season, got out into the second round. They really weren't competitive against Carolina then, but I think they, you know, maybe some fans and maybe some guys on the team, because it's a very young core of that team, felt like, okay, we've arrived. And then injuries, poor play, having to rush some of their quality young prospects, guys like Luke Hughes and Simone Nemec, into positions maybe they weren't quite ready for on defense, the lack of decent goaltending. It all kind of came up and bit them last year, missed the playoffs. a real setback, you'd say, but with their cap space, with their need for a goaltender, you know, you do give credit to Tom Fitzgerald. I think you recognize he's been the GM there for a few years. You can't be complacent. You can't just wait for your young guys to get it. He went out, retooled completely. You know, they're going to get Dougie Hamilton back healthy this year, but you're not just going to see what the young kids can do again on D. It's too important a position. You're not going to see what you've got in net. Too important a position to go out and trade for Jacob Markstrom. Not a huge cost to get him. And then really aggressive in free agency. Brett Pesce, like you said, he's a local guy. You know, he's had a really good run in Carolina, a team that plays a certain style and plays it well, that style the Devils want to play, aggressive all over the ice, fast up and down the ice. And then you get a really solid guy in Brendan Dillon, a bit more of a stay-at-home guy, but he's a veteran. He's a good presence. You know, and then even adding Stefan Mason, who's been in the Devils organization before, had a really good run in Carolina. You know, Carolina's not really gotten over the hump yet, but they've been so good for so long. You get guys from that program and bring them in, you know, to a Devils team that needs a little bit of structure and guys that know how to play the system. You've got Sheldon Keefe, who's a good coach in there. It's potentially the best turnaround right now on paper of any team in the league.
Ooh, you get me hyped up. I'm just like, I don't know. I wasn't a hockey guy too much. But I'm getting the itch more and more, because what changed for me, Art, was going to live games. It's just such a different environment watching it there than watching it on TV. No disrespect to the Devils broadcast on MSG. They do a great job, or any broadcast. But like the energy you feel when you're in the arena and when you're watching that puck and following the puck and watching these guys skate and hit, I don't know, it's just different. I'm geeked up now because, like, this team is stronger now. This team, you know, last year, two things. I would go to games, Devils down 1-0 right away. It's like, even watching the game, it's like you're always fighting uphill. There's always a deficit. Right away, you can bet on first goal, bet somebody on the other team. The Devils were always down 1-0. And then also fans were trying, you know, they were trying to get Lindy out of there. They were trying to get him out of there. So now you have Sheldon Keefe. You have Jacob Markstrom, a bunch of people were telling me, oh, he's not that great. I'm like, he's better than Akira Schmid. He's better than Vitek Vanacek. And now bolstering the defense in front of him, we're good to go.
Yeah. Yeah, it's you know, even the moves they made at the deadline when they weren't able to pull off a trade for Markstrom, getting Jake Allen, who's a guy, another veteran guy who's been around in net, really good backup, 1B type guy. You know, he played pretty well down the stretch for them. It's a more professional program they've got there now. You know, you've got Jack Hughes, you've got Jesper Bratt, you've got Nico Hischier. These are the core guys. These are the guys that people pay to come see.
Pun intended. But, Jack has to have a good year coming off of that line. He'll never live it down. He's got to come out and have a hell of a year after that.
He does. But he's got a much better supporting cast around him. And, you know, and I think every team that's got young guys at its core goes through this, where you take a step and maybe you think you're there and you take your foot off the gas a little bit. And obviously the injuries, you know, really, really walloped them last year. But I think the mindset is going to be very different. Sheldon Keefe, you know, wasn't able to get it done with a young core in Toronto, but he's a very good coach. He's well-regarded. I think when the Leafs decided to move on from him, Devils were right in the middle of their search, kind of fell into their laps. He was one of the last guys standing of the veteran coaches. And I think the mix is going to be good. And I think you get off to a better start to the season. Guys are a little bit more on their toes, knowing we've got some new guys in here who are veterans, who are used to being in successful teams. You've got a coach who's used to winning. I just think the whole attitude, I think, there has changed quite a bit.
We're on the phone right now with Arthur Staple. He's a New York hockey columnist for The Athletic, covering the Rangers and the Isles. Let's talk about the Rangers. They made a couple moves, too. So coming off a loss in the Stanley Cup, but a great Stanley Cup final. Sam Carrick has signed a 3-year deal with the New York Rangers. And they also made a trade, as I go back to my notes. They acquire Riley Smith in a trade with the Penguins. What do those two guys do to help bolster the Rangers group that we already know is one of the best in the game?
Yeah, you know, I think given some of the move that they made leading up to this, getting, you know, putting Barkley Goodrow on waivers, getting rid of his cap hit, him going to San Jose, You know, a guy who even he'd only been here 3 years, but was a core guy, alternate captain. And, you know, some of the talk about maybe trying to trade their captain, Jacob Trouba, that didn't come to fruition, but the talk has certainly been pretty frequent and out there. And, you know, that they're trying to make some changes. I think they understand that even getting to two conference finals in the last 3 years, this is the Rangers. Chris Drury knows who his boss is. You got to win. You know, when James Dolan says we need to win, you got to win. And getting close is not quite good enough. And, you know, they've had a core there for a few years now that hasn't quite gotten them through the postseason, the key parts of the postseason. So seeing Drury be very aggressive in breaking up some of the core or trying to break up some of the core, it's an interesting move. And you wondered, did they free up enough money to really be a big player? And it didn't quite seem like, you know, I think there was a bit of a flirtation with Patrick Kane, but he decided to stay in Detroit. A couple other guys that might have fit the top six a little bit differently than Riley Smith. But Riley Smith is a, you know, he's a guy in his early 30s. Didn't quite work out for him in Pittsburgh. He'd been in Vegas for a long time and won a Stanley Cup there and has been a guy who's a money playoff player going back almost a decade when he was with Florida. So he's, you know, he can bring the goods. And I think, you know, Carrick is a good fourth line guy. He's a crasher and a banger and brings the physicality, kind of a guy who you could replace Goodrow with at a much cheaper cost. So, you know, I think maybe fans were expecting a few more fireworks from them today, and maybe there's a chance to still do that this week or even further into the offseason. But, you know, you always got to remind yourself, even though the disappointment of them losing in the conference final, the Panthers, this is a team that won the President's Trophy. They got out of the gate 18-3-1 last year. They've got really good players in a lot of key positions who had very good years last year. So, you know, you don't want to get too crazy with let's break it up, let's blow it up. So I'm curious to see what else they do in this offseason or if this is it and they kind of keep a little bit of cap space going into the season and going through. Maybe somebody shakes out in a trade where you see you have a hole. That's kind of the way Drury's operated the last couple of years. But I think kind of what it says is this core, guys like Mika Zibanejad, guys like Artemi Panarin, Igor Shesterkin, Adam Fox, who all had really good stretches. And, you know, for Panarin was an MVP candidate, but in the crunch time in the playoffs, maybe some of those guys weren't quite up to the level they need to be. Now you're still relying on them. You're still counting on those guys. They take up a lot of cap space. There's still the core of this team, and the regular season is important, but I think everybody understands even more so now what's the most important thing for the Rangers, and that's getting all the way to the promised land.
Yes, sir. I think they'll be right back. I don't expect the Panthers to repeat. Obviously, the Hurricanes now losing some of their guys. They're weakened, or I expect them to not be as strong losing some of their guys. And, you know, this window that the Rangers have been in the last few years, I think it's going to be, you know, great for this area too with the Islanders and the Devils. Why do Rangers fans hate Jacob Trouba so much?
You know, to me, it's that I think hockey fans, it's probably all sports fans, they love their team so much that when things start to go south with one player, especially a guy who's a core player like Trouba is, it's just main character syndrome. It's all of their frustrations about the team, whether it's with the, you know, sometimes with the goaltending, sometimes with the coach, GM, whoever. If you find a guy who's not performing up to his standards, has a big contract, I think it's like a magnet. It just attracts all the negativity. So, you know, this situation with him is kind of a sensitive one. You know, he is the captain. He does have a big cap hit, $8 million next year and the year after. And the Rangers asking for his no trade list. It's, you know, these kind of the minutiae of the contracts. He had a no move clause, which means they couldn't trade him without his permission. It goes to a 15-team no trade list as of today. The Rangers seemed like they were trying to nudge him in the direction of a trade even before this no trade clause kicked in, and he wasn't going for it. So, you know, now you look at the situation with him. If they want him gone, does he decide, all right, they don't want me here, I should just go and take the best deal I can, or does he risk it the way that Barkley Goodyear did, and maybe you end up in a place you don't really want to be, a place where you got no chance to win? So this is going to be something to watch all offseason. If he's still here when training camp rolls around, you know, there's going to be some hurt feelings, I would guess, between the captain and the front office, and I don't know how long you want that to linger. So it's definitely intriguing to see kind of the power moves that guys make with the clauses that they earn and, you know, they bargain for and what the team can do to kind of get around it. And he's still a Ranger right now. We'll see if that lasts through the next few weeks.
Last thing for you, Art, so we don't forget about those Isles fans. I was just on ESPN looking at their free agency tracker, and they just wrote, the Islanders have finally entered the chat. Defensive men Mike Riley is coming back on a one-year contract. Anthony Duclair is heading back to the Metropolitan Division by way of a four-year, $14 million deal. You know, I mentioned them being a playoff team. I mentioned them being in the running next year when we're going to have three teams in this area that we think could potentially get to the playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs, Stanley Cup final. Any other moves coming up for them that you could predict? And what do you think about what they just did?
You know, I like what they did. They came into today, I think, with the least cap space of almost any team in the league. They were only working with about $5.8 million, which is, you know, you could use that up on half a guy at some of these prices that players are getting on the first day of free agency. So I think it was a couple of shrewd moves by Lou Lamoriello. Mike Riley was a guy they picked up on waivers early last season when they were hit with injuries. You know, he's been around the league a lot as a, you know, 30-year-old defenseman. He seemed to fit pretty well, especially when Patrick Waugh came in a couple months after that. You know, Riley's an offensive defenseman. He moves the puck well. That's what the style of game that Patrick Waugh wants from his D, and he's really one of the better guys to do it on this D core. So it seemed like a good fit. $1.25 million, not a big number against the cap. So, you know, I think that's just a little stability there, which is something the Islanders and Lou Lamoriello like. And then Duclair, the guy, you know, Ranger fans know him well. He was a Ranger draft pick, 19 years old, made his debut a decade ago now for the Rangers when they were kind of in their heyday of mid-2010s of being really good. He's bounced around a lot. I don't know that his game away from the puck is super strong, but I think he's become a very reliable scorer. He's a fast guy. And I think for the Islanders, looking for a guy to fit on their top line with Matthew Barzal and Bo Horvat. You know, Duclair started last year in San Jose, one of the worst teams in the league. He managed 16 goals there. Tampa traded for him and put him on a line with Nikita Kucherov, who was the leading scorer in the league. And Duclair ended up with 15 points in 17 games there. So you see a guy who can keep up with top line players, with creative players like Kucherov. Barzal's not a Kucherov, but he's in the ballpark. So you like what he brings. And you know, sometimes you go into free agency and you end up getting a little older, and this is already a pretty old core. A lot of guys over 30. Duclair's only 28. He feels like he's been in the league 100 years because this, I think, is going to be his ninth team. But he does bring the speed. He's a skilled guy, and he's got some familiarity with Patrick Waugh, who coached him in juniors almost a dozen years ago in Quebec. So I think there's a lot to like about this signing. And when you go into a free agency day with that little cap space, you got to be smart about what you do, and I think Lou Lamoriello was smart. If he's going to do anything else, which I still think they're not quite at the level of the Rangers and maybe not even at the level of Devils with all the moves they've made, somebody's going to have to go. They got to move somebody off the roster to create a little more cap space, and I don't know that they have that in mind because they do like their core. You know, it's a very tight-knit group. That doesn't always satisfy the fans to know that these guys like each other that much, but we'll see where they can take it. You know, I think for them, Ilya Sorokin, their goalie, was a Vezina Trophy candidate 2 years ago, had a pretty down year last year, ended up only playing one of the playoff games for them. If he has a bounce-back year, that'll go a long way towards helping them in a full year with Patrick Waugh, full training camp with his philosophy and his ideas. You know, it sounds a little like excuse-making because they didn't really do a whole lot, but I think with some of the tweaks that they made, they could still be a contender in that division.
Awesome. Art, you're the man. I appreciate your insight, and I appreciate you, and thank you for joining us tonight.
You got it, Keith. Anytime.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Arthur Staple. Obviously, if you're a hockey fan, you should be following him at Stape Athletic on Twitter. Put the post notifications on. You can become a better hockey fan just reading his tweets and his articles. He's a New York hockey columnist at The Athletic covering the New York Rangers and the Isles. I've had him on at least three or four times. And as I listen to him talk hockey, I'm just like, yeah, I got a lot more to learn. I got a lot more to study and to do, but I'm getting there. And we're getting there. Back to the phones quickly before we break, because Alex is in plain view. Alex, hello. You're on the fan.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey. How's it going?
Good.
I'm going to play for the Rangers. I'm going to play the Marines.
You play hockey? How old are you?
Eight.
And you can skate? Eight. You can. How are you with the puck? How are you handling the stick?
Awesome.
Awesome, man. 8 years old, already playing hockey. You sure you want to be on the Rangers? There's a lot of teams.
Yes.
That's your favorite team?
Yes.
You watch the Rangers with your dad?
Yes.
Awesome, man. What position do you play?
Goalie?
Okay, I see. The Rangers always have great goalies, so maybe you're the next one in line.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call, guys. 888-808-1019. We are the world. We are the children. You know, the future is now. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. As the sun has set over New York City, a young man on the Fan in New York, here to take your calls and talk sports. KM to AM resumes. 888-808-1019. Nobody's on the line, so it's wide open. If you want to talk about anything, we can do that. Let's reset here. Thanks again to Arthur Staple for joining me so I could force in a little puck talk. And the Make It Happen Mets are making it happen again. They came back from down 2-0. Here we are in the top of the seventh. They need to continue to tack on runs because we do not trust that bullpen. But it was good to see the sixth inning that they had, right? They were down 2-0 after the third. A couple scoreless. And they were able to put up three in the sixth inning. We're now here in the seventh inning. And some of the same usual suspects. The young guys, Mark Vientos, what a difference Mark Vientos has made for this team this season, and El Troll, Francisco Alvarez, the best. I know you guys heard Francisco Alvarez talking about how he worked out with Juan Soto in the offseason. No, you guys didn't hear about that? Well, when Juan Soto boinked him on the head with his bat during the Subway Series, some people were like, yo, that's disrespectful. Yo, what's he doing? They know each other. They know each other. And it was funny to, you know, see that in real time, but you kind of knew that that had to come from somewhere, right? You know, who else has he bonked on the head like that? I haven't seen him. You know, he didn't do that to Alejandro Kirk over the weekend. But anyway, this is what Francisco Alvarez had to say. And Deisha, who I had on last week, wrote the article for Fox Sports. She used to cover the Mets specifically. Shout out to Deisha. Now, I think she nationally writes for Fox, but she wrote this for SNY. She got a quote from Francisco Alvarez. He said, I practiced with him a couple times in the offseason. I got to know him a little bit. I love how he plays the game. I like how he works, his confidence, and how he looks. He looks very confident every time when he goes to play baseball. He's different. His confidence is different. I feel like my confidence is different, too. I'd like to play like him. I would really like it if he was going to play with the Mets. For me, it would be great. He's the guy that everything I want to have is like him. He's one of the best players in the game. And you know what? Watching Francisco Alvarez, I was like, he's got a little bit of Juan Soto in his game. Something about his, you know, plate approach, his, you know, in the box. And obviously, that's a guy he emulates. So, man, as much as we are going to talk about Juan Soto, as much as we are going to go back and forth over where he's going to land, some of you think it's strictly money. I disagree with that. I just think, you know, there's so many other things and so many other ways, and there's ways to restructure the contract. I don't think it's just he's going to the highest bidder. But I think the Mets have made themselves look more attractive, right? In his first Subway Series, obviously, it was more fun to be a Met in those two games. And having the connection with Francisco Alvarez over there, a young catcher that is some, you know, 4 years younger than Juan Soto, they both could potentially play the rest of their careers in Queens. I think that's a factor too. Ultimately, though, we know the Centurion Ferrari, as I've been calling him after Scott Boras called him the Centurion, he is trying to be the highest paid player, and Boras is trying to bounce back from the offseason that he had, and he's trying to sign him for a lot of money. The most money. He'll be the highest paid player this offseason. I'm not exactly sure what the number is going to be. We've been, you know, figuring around $500 to $600 million. But let's see. Soto's still got a lot more season to play. And the Mets and Yankees have a lot more season to play to see where they end up. I know a lot of us love to proclaim what the team is and what the team isn't in June. We don't know. We have no idea. We have no idea. In 2022, the Mets took the first two games in Citi Field of the Subway Series. And what happened to them the rest of the way from losing the division and losing in the wild card round? So same thing with the Yankees, right? The Yankees, as much as we thought the Yankees were almighty, this month of June has humbled them, and they are trying to figure a lot of things out, and they got to figure it out fast. Here they are coming back to the Bronx, where the Bleacher Creatures will be ready to greet Juan Soto with that roll call, and I know he'll be in the lineup. I thought he wasn't going to be in the lineup Sunday, but man, the fact that he forced his way in and the Yankees didn't just say, no, you know, he had two games off. He had a game off, two games off. I think he got hurt in the first game, whatever, yo. I'm just tired of, like, the precaution. Let guys play. Let them play a little hurt. Let them get their, you know, blood flowing a little bit. So we're talking Juan Soto right now. We're talking Mets and Yankees as well. Let's go to William in West Milford on the Fan. You got it, Will.
Hey, so I'm a Yankee fan, but I feel the same with Soto going to the Mets next season.
You feel like it's shifted a little bit. You feel like it's tilted right now. Like it was a lock in April and May that Soto was going to be a forever Yankee. Give him a blank check. There's nowhere for him to go. And since the Yankees dipped over these last couple of weeks and the Mets have surged over these last couple of weeks, you feel like it's a reality for him to leave and go to what we assume to be the highest bidder, Steve Cohen and the Metropolitans.
Yeah, because the Mets are showing a lot more energy than the Yankees when they're having like concerts. They're actually pumping each other up, and then you see Torres walking down the line on a grounder to the third baseman.
Yeah, that wasn't a good look in the Subway Series for him to be so down on himself that he didn't hustle. But I'll say this, young William. I'll say that, you know, things can change, and I think getting home is good. Let's say the Yankees sweep the Reds and the Red Sox this week. I doubt that is going to happen. But then it's going to be, oh, you know, Soto's right back, and look at the Yankees. They're figuring it out. It's, you know, it was a bad couple weeks here, but I don't think it's finite.
Yeah. I hope they sweep the Red Sox.
Yeah, and the Reds. Do you want Juan Soto long term? You don't care what he costs, or do you think that the Yankees can pivot to, you know, some younger players and do all right without him?
I think they should do whatever they – I think they should try to keep him and, like, give away or just try to keep him and see what you could do to do it.
Yeah, but, you know, there's going to be a certain amount they could spend. You think that they're going to try and match the offers and try their best to be the highest bidder for Juan Soto?
That's why I think he's going to go to the Mets because of the
rich
because
owner.
Because the Mets are going to offer more.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, thanks for the call, man. 888-808-1019. In theory, Steve Cohen can light $100 on fire every 30 seconds and it wouldn't change his day. So if we're talking about the top suitors for Juan Soto, him being in the big city of dreams that has two teams, obviously we expect Steve Cohen to be a higher bidder than Hal Steinbrenner. But I do remind folks that Hal Steinbrenner is a billionaire too. But I think Yankee fans are starting to sour a little bit on Juan Soto. We obviously know he's a generational talent. We know how ridiculous he is. But a lot of us are saying, 600 mil? This guy's not all defense. He's not a gold glover in right field. We've seen the ball travel over his head too much. We've seen him bobble the ball too much. 600 million for the bat, for the walks, for the shuffle? What's that going to do for us in the future? You know, I put in my notes that I wanted to go back to Moose in Jamaica and him talking about the business of baseball. Man, I love baseball because there's so many layers. And the business of baseball, to me, is like one of the most fascinating layers. You, in a world where there's a Steve Cohen tax, but there's no salary cap, right? But you have owners talking about what they can and can't do at the top. But then you also have owners that don't talk about what they can and can't do. They just don't. At the bottom, there needs to be a salary cap floor. But I mean, for our purposes here in New York, you heard Hal Steinbrenner in a group in front of a group of his peers at the owners' meetings talk about it not being sustainable to have that high of a payroll. And they have Aaron Judge making $40 million a year, Garrett Cole making $36 million a year, Giancarlo Stanton, I think, is making like $28 million a year, and DJ's making $15 a year. What's Rodon make, like $27 a year? We'll see what happens with, you know, some of these contracts. There's money coming off the books, but Juan Soto is going to be expensive. And when we talk about this trade deadline, I'll say this before we go back to the phone at 888-808-1019, join the show before my next guest joins us at 10:15. What I'll say about this trade deadline, I just am thinking a lot about the Yankees farm system and the names that we've heard. And guys like Spencer Jones, who just hit a grand slam and had a bunch of home runs and, you know, has really started to come up recently. And now you're seeing Ben Rice, which, by the way, I haven't mentioned yet. Ben Rice should be at first base every day. I don't know who needs to hear that. Ben Rice has come up and in 2 weeks shown me that he belongs. He even got the opportunity to catch over the weekend. He almost hit his first homer. Like, not for nothing. Anthony Rizzo being the captain's best friend is cool, but this young man can hit. We need people to hit. He took on the challenge. When you took Juan Soto out of the lineup, you put him in the number two spot. As a rookie, he gave you two knocks. Anyway, the Yankees have a tough situation with this trade deadline because we know that your owner put out that you can't have this ridiculous high payroll going forward. We know that everyone is going to ask for Jason Dominguez, Spencer Jones, Ben Rice, Oswald Peraza, and even guys that you're starting to hear, you know, Augustin Ramirez, and, you know, they're going to ask for your top prospects. They're not going to take some of these 17, 18-year-olds or guys that we don't know. It's the Yankees. The Yankee tax is higher. But can the Yankees find a way to improve this team in the bullpen, maybe add another bat, a corner infielder? Today I was thinking maybe they find an infielder that can be the leadoff hitter. I appreciate young Anthony Volpe taking on the challenge, but I'm still staying where I was in the beginning of the year where I said it wasn't broke, don't fix it. I felt like it was unfair to that young man that they moved him around the lineup as a rookie, and then they said they weren't going to do that again this year, and he was batting six, and he was playing like Mookie Betts. And then they decide, okay, yeah, you're going to be the leadoff hitter after telling us in 10 years he'd be the leadoff hitter. He struggled. Then he came back. He had a 20-game hitting streak. He just had another like 8 or 9-game hitting streak. But ultimately, he's not the power hitter that he was last year. He's not hitting extra base hits, like doubles. He's not. So I don't know. What I'm trying to say here is the Yankees have a lot of holes to fill. If you're a Yankee fan saying they need a catcher, they need a first baseman, they need a second baseman, they need a third baseman, they need a closer, they need bullpen depth. Like there's no way they can get all of that in this deadline while retaining their young prospects and playing for the future. Because Hal Steinbrenner is telling you they can't go out and keep buying free agents. But if you just look at the farm system and the young guys that we know are coming up, they're going to be able to fill out a roster with guys like Anthony Volpe, Austin Wells, Oswaldo Cabrera, and a bunch of the prospects that I mentioned. 888-808-1019. Ian, when we come back, I was about to go to you, but we got to go to this break. You'll be first. Keep McPherson on the fan. This is KM to AM, 2 out of 5 hours down. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Fan.